Well, hey, as Coley mentioned, we are walking through a series entitled Choose Joy from the book of Philippians. And today we're still in chapter one. We're looking at just two verses, verses 7 and 8 today, if you want to go ahead and start making your way there. So one of the joys that I have in my role as being a pastor is being able to witness the transforming power of Jesus take place in the lives of others. So I get the joy of seeing people give their life to Christ, or like Jesus helping them overcome struggles that they've had. Jesus helps them overcome different battles and different things that they've been wrestling with. It's just a joy as a pastor to be able to see what Jesus can do in the life of someone else. And interestingly enough, one of the most impactful stories of Jesus' transforming power actually comes from my own father, Michael Crawford Sr. So before my sister and I were born, my dad was someone who, like, he struggled with alcoholism and anger and for many years, and it had a negative effect on many of his relationships. And then my dad gave his life to Christ in his adult years. And afterwards, after giving his life to Jesus, his life was never the same. His life was like never the same. He became more kind. He became more compassionate, more forgiving, more understanding. He became a leader in the church that we were in. He actually served as the chairman of the deacon board, where we went to church for several years, and he was a drug and alcohol dependency counselor for many years to help those who battled with certain things to overcome that. So this all happened in my dad's life because Jesus had transformed his heart. Jesus transformed his heart. When Jesus transforms our hearts, a lot of things can happen in our lives. But I think our passage today is going to highlight three things that happen in the life of a believer who truly allows Jesus to renew and transform their hearts. Three things, and I'll put this up there. Number one, we begin to look outside of ourselves. Number two, we begin to look inside of ourselves. Number three, we begin to look around ourselves. So when Jesus comes into your heart, we begin to look outside ourselves, inside ourselves, and around ourselves. And I think this is what we're going to see in our passage today. Paul's heart has been transformed, and it's causing him to look outside, inside, and around himself, despite what he's going through, all for the glory of Jesus. And so my hope, church, is that as we walk through this, we can be encouraged to do the same. So with that, as you're able, please stand as we continue reading Paul's letter back to his friends in Philippi. This is chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Hear the word of the Lord. This is what Paul says to them. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. This is the word of God. You may be seated. If you were with us last week, we looked at how Paul had spent time encouraging all the believers back in Philippi. And he encouraged them specifically in three ways. He let them know that he was praying for them, that they were in his prayers. He acknowledged their consistent faithfulness. And then he spent time reminding them that Jesus was still working in their lives, that he began a good work in their lives, and that Jesus was going to finish it, that he wasn't done with them yet. So those are the three specific ways that we looked at that Paul encouraged them last week. So you can imagine how for the church in Philippi, for them receiving Paul's letter and hearing all of these positive things that he had to say about them, it probably lifted their spirits and put wind in their sails. But we have to remember, and we talked about this a little bit last week, you have to remember, even though he just sent them an encouraging letter, not everything is right and not everything is perfect in Paul's life when he wrote this. Not everything is perfect in his life right now. So remember, he didn't write this from like the friendly confines of his home or on a beach somewhere. He's sitting in jail when he wrote these words. And not just any jail, he's sitting in a Roman prison. Remember, Roman prisons during this time were typically overcrowded and they had poor sanitation. The food wasn't that good. Probably the smell was bad. And yet, despite the fact that he's the one that's sitting in prison, he doesn't dwell on that. Now, he'll mention it, and we'll see this later on in our series, that he does mention it, but he doesn't dwell on it. He takes time to encourage them like we saw last week. And so the question becomes, everyone, how was Paul able to do this? How was he able to be externally focused on others despite what was going on in his life? Despite what he was going through. And I think Paul gives us the answer to that question, and it lies in what he tells us in verse 7. Look what he says in verse 7. This is what he says in verse 7. It's right for me to feel this way about all of you. Then notice what he says here. Since I have you in my heart. So when Paul says that last part, since I have you in my heart, our entire understanding of this verse hinges on that phrase, that saying that he says, since I have you in my heart. And what that translates to is this, because Jesus has transformed my heart and turned it toward you. So when he says, since I have you in my heart, that's what that translates into, because Jesus has transformed my heart and turned it away from me and away from what I'm going through and toward you. So what Paul is telling them and what Paul is showing us is this. The reason anything godly is able to come out of his mouth right now, the reason he's able to build them up and to speak life into them and to encourage them to stay true to Jesus, it's not because he's trying to be such a caring, nice person. It's not because he's trying to give the illusion that he really is trying to go through this by himself. It's not just because he started the church 10 years ago and had fond memories of them. It's not just because they sent him a financial gift. That's not the reason he's able to say what he says to them. That's not the reason he's able to encourage him. The reason he's able to encourage them was because Jesus had taken control of his heart and he transformed it. In other words, despite his condition in prison, Jesus' transformative power was still at work inside of Paul. And it was the power of Jesus that kept him from feeling sorry for himself. It was the power of Jesus that made him think about others when he could have dwelt on himself. It was the power of Jesus that enabled him to remain encouraging during his imprisonment. So I think this shows us the first thing. When your heart has been transformed by Jesus, what does it do? It frees you up and it allows you to step outside of you. And this is what it does. It allows you to exude godliness in the face of trials. You can exude godliness in the face of trials. And you can look outside of yourself and you cannot be so self-consumed and so focused and inward focused. Like Paul, your heart can be turned to others and you can still see what God is doing in the life of others. So here's what it does. When Jesus takes control of your heart, I thought about this earlier this week. When Jesus takes control of your heart, even when you're going through a difficult situation, you can be faithful instead of fearful. You can be bold instead of bitter, and you can be godly instead of grouchy. That's what Jesus can do in your life, even when you're going through a hard situation. You don't let, like you don't have to let your hard situation, like, get the best of you. You can still be faithful and not fearful. Whatever you're facing, you don't have to fear it. You can be faithful to Jesus. You can be faithful, not because you have the own strength to do it, but because Jesus has transformed your heart. You can be bold. You know what? You can say, I'm going to face whatever this is, regardless of what it is. I can be bold instead of bitter. And I can be godly instead of grouchy. Like I don't have to let what I'm going through make me just this grouchy person. My spouse doesn't want to hang around. My kids don't want to hang around me. No, I can, like, walk through this and still exude godliness, still exude, like, patience, and look around and see, like, the needs of others. I can still be a source of encouragement to others, even though I myself am going through my own situation. And I think we really got to get this into our spirits, Antioch, because, like, last week we talked about this. We talked about relying on Jesus to give us strength to be encouraging to each other. But I think today's passage, I think Paul takes that a step further. And he shows us, listen, not only can Jesus give you the strength to be encouraging, but he can give you the strength to be encouraging when you yourself are walking through a season of pain. When life is painful, you can still walk through it and be encouraging to others. He can transform your heart. He can transform your thoughts so that, like, you don't become so overwhelmed and like self-consumed, and you can, like, still see others. You can still see your brothers and sisters around you. You can still see those around you. Even when everything inside you wants to cry or give up. Think about this. Paul is walking through a season of loss. What has he lost? He's lost his freedom. Like, he's lost his ability to be able to freely go and do what he wants and see those he wants. They can have some visitors, but not like, it's not like being on the outside. He's lost his freedom. And yet, like, Jesus still transforms his heart. And he's able to speak kind and show joy and encourage others, despite the fact that he's going through a season of loss. Maybe you can relate to that today. Maybe you know, as you sit here today, like, maybe you know what it's like to try to walk through a season of loss and struggle to be genuinely happy for others or to show godliness because of what you're going through. Maybe today, as you sit here, you're in a season where, like, you're walking through your own pain. And yet, like you still know, okay, I still want to be godly to my spouse. I still need to be godly to my children. I still need to be godly to my neighbors. I still want to be godly to those around me. I still want to be godly to my work. Like, Jesus can transform our hearts to where you can battle, you can do that. You can have pain that he helps you with, and yet you can still be an encouragement to someone else. I thought about this just the other day. Like, Mother's Day is coming up. And like if you're like me, like, you want to celebrate Mother's Day, and you do celebrate Mother's Day, but maybe you also think about the loss of your own mother. Like, you have that pain, but you also want to have joy. Like, Jesus can help us do those things. Here's what I think this passage shows us. Jesus can hold your heart in a way that allows you to walk through pain and still be a light to others. He can do that. He can hold your heart where you can walk through pain, like a hard season, a really difficult season, and yet there's something about you where you're still a light to others. You're still encouraging to others. That doesn't come from us. We don't naturally do that. We cannot naturally do that. It only comes through Jesus. So if you're going through a painful season today, right now, allow Jesus to transform your heart. You don't have to let what you're going through make you a grouch. Amen? You can still walk through it. You can trust Jesus with it and still give the light of the kingdom to others. I think that's what Paul is showing us here. So when your heart has been transformed by Jesus, like you look outside of yourself. You don't just like think, oh, woe is me. You know, everyone, look at me. Look at me. Look what I'm going through. You still can like look outside of yourself and see the needs of others. But here's what's interesting. A heart transformed by Jesus also looks inside itself. So you look outside yourself, but you also look inside yourself. Notice what Paul says in the second half of verse 7. Look what he says. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you sharing God's grace with me. Look at that. Pay close attention to the word. Slow down. I'm going to read that again. Look what he says. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, whether, that's the key to that, whether, no matter what happens, all of you share in God's grace with me. So Paul recognized that, listen, whether he's in jail, sitting in a Roman prison, or he's out on the streets telling people about the goodness of Jesus, they all share in God's grace with him. So Paul knew that no matter where he went, no matter what situation he found himself in, he was covered by the grace of Jesus. And I want to explain what type of grace Paul is referring to here, because there's a few different ways you can experience the grace of God in your life. There's the grace that saved you, and there's the grace that sustains you. There's the grace that saved you, and there's the grace that sustains you. So there's the big salvific grace of Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross and rose again, he defeated death. And because of that, we receive grace. We are saved by grace through faith. Amen? Amen. We are saved by grace through faith. That's not quite the grace that Paul is referring to in our passage today. Here, he's referring to the grace that sustains you, that protects you and keeps you every day. This is the grace that shows up when your life is getting hard or when things are starting to fall apart. Think about this kind of grace like a life jacket. When the storms of life threaten to take you under and you felt like everything in your life was falling apart, it's the grace of God that shows up that keeps you from drowning. It's the grace of God that keeps you above water. So we're saved by grace, but then his grace sustains us. So his grace saved us and it saves us. And this second way is the grace that Paul is referring to here in verse 7, his sustaining grace. His sustaining grace, the grace that keeps you going. Paul says, listen, if I'm in chains, if I'm in prison, I have God's grace. And if I'm out, I have God's grace. And so do you all. And I think Paul uses, I love the fact that he uses that specific language to remind us that a heart that's been transformed by Jesus, it looks inside and it remembers something very, very important. This is a simple truth, but it's such an important truth for us all to remember. Listen, you are never outside the grace of God. You are never outside the grace of God. Someone should have said amen right there, right? Like, you are never outside the grace of God. Paul knew, amen, thank you. Paul knew that no matter where he found himself, no matter what came his way, whether he was in prison or on the street, he had God's grace. There's no place that he could ever go where God's grace couldn't reach. His heart was transformed in that respect. And I just want to remind each of us here that, listen, there's no place you could ever go and there's no situation you could ever find yourself that is outside the grace of God. Like, you can never outrun the grace of God. You can never outsin the grace of God. It's with you when things are going good. It's with you when things are rough. If you have a little money or a lot of money, if you have a big house or not, if you have a job or not, if your kids are acting good or if they're not, if you're on the mountaintop or if you're in the valley, you have the grace of God today. Even if life is hard right now, the fact that you are sitting here right now shows that you are experiencing the grace of God. So let me just ask, is there anyone here today that is thankful for the grace of God? Amen. The fact that we are even here right now, the fact that we are here shows that you and I have the grace of God. It never runs out. Like there's nothing you could ever do to like out-sin or outrun the grace of God. So the next time you feel defeated, the next time you feel less than, the next time you feel like you're not enough, here's what we do. We give our hearts to Jesus. Give our hearts to Jesus. And we allow him to transform our heart. And when we do that, it reminds us, no matter where we are, we have God's grace. Remember what the Lord told Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. So a heart transformed by Jesus looks outside of itself. It looks inside itself and it remembers, okay, no matter where I am, I'm covered by the grace of Jesus. But it also looks around itself. Look how Paul finishes our passage today in verse 8. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. God can testify. In other words, God is my witness, or God knows that what I'm saying here is true. So when you attach God's name to something like that, what you're about to say, it better be true, right? Because he attached God's name to it. And he said, God is my witness. Look at what it says. Look what he says. Pay attention to this. I long for all of you. With what? With the affection of Christ. With the affection of Christ. So notice what Paul does not say here. He doesn't say, I only long for those who are the most spiritual. He doesn't say, I only long for those who are easiest in the church to get along with, or the ones who he thought were his like best friends. He longs for all of them. Every single one of them. Regardless of where they were in their walk with Jesus. He longed to see them all. He had this affection for them. And I thought about this. This is what Paul is showing here. This is one of the best indicators of a heart that's been transformed by Jesus. We have this longing and this godly affection for everyone in the church. Not just those who I like or who I have the most in common with, you know, or those who I kind of get along with and people I kind of hang out with outside. Like, we're all members of the same church. Amen? We're members of the same body of Christ. And because of that, we should long to see each other. All of us. So when Jesus transformed your heart, what does this show us? You begin to look around you and you begin to see all the body of Christ. But not only see them, but you develop this affectionate longing for them. Like we develop this longing for each other. I thought about this, like, you remember when you were in high school? This is how it was when I was in high school. Like, everyone had their own cliques, right? Like, people were cliqued up. And it was basically people who thought the same as you, dressed the same as you, acted the same as you, and kind of viewed life the same way as you did. And they all liked each other, all kind of clicked up. The body of Christ should not be like this. We shouldn't be like clicked up and like I only hang around people that I like or people that think like me or, you know, things like that. Or I only hang around the people I volunteer in my ministry and things like that. And other people, I'll be cordial to them, but, you know, I only have an affair. I only really want to see the people that I really like. Like, we don't want church. I'm not saying we're like that. So, like, please don't look at me. I'm just saying we don't want to get like that. Paul says, I have a godly affection for all of you. And we should have a godly affection for everyone. Not just those at Antioch who you like find the most in common with. Like when Jesus transforms our heart, he transforms our heart for everyone. And Jesus did this when he went to the cross. He had that affection for everyone. And his death on the cross covered the sins of everyone. And now his spirit is like working through us. And we should have that godly affection. But it won't come from us. It won't come from us, and it definitely won't come from us like faking like I like this person or things like that. It comes from us saying, Jesus, I need you to transform my heart so that I can truly long to see everyone. So when Jesus transforms your heart, you look outside of yourself. Like you don't have to let what you're going through cause you to only look at you. You look outside yourself. You look inside yourself and you remember, okay, I have the grace of God no matter what I'm going through now. And then you look around yourself. Amen? So here's what I want to do today. We are going to take communion today. And I want to do this. I had this vision of this earlier this week. So just a couple of instructions as we take communion. Number one, I want to say you do not have to be a member of Antioch to take communion, but we do respectfully ask you be a member of the body of Christ. So you don't have to be a member of Antioch Community Church, but we do ask that you be a member of the body of Christ. And then here's what I would like us to do. I want to do something different for communion. For those of you who are a member of the body of Christ, I think there's just something powerful about what Paul says when he says he has this longing and this godly affection for everyone. I would like for us to take communion in small groups. But here's my ask. Maybe as you feel led, take communion with someone who you don't normally talk to. Like maybe someone who's not in your DNA group, someone who's not in your community group, someone who like, yeah, I see them at church, but like we never really communicate and talk outside of church and like we're cordial to each other. Like maybe think about that as the Spirit leads, like take communion. But because here's the thing about it, we're all members of the body of Christ. And so as Coley comes, we're gonna go ahead and start our time of communion. When you come and get your elements, maybe go and sit with someone who you don't normally sit with or who you don't normally talk to. And we're gonna do communion that way. Hold on to your elements because I'm gonna come back and lead us in that time. Does that make sense? Are you willing to do that? All right, so yeah, let's do that. So Coley's gonna, as the Spirit leads you, as you feel led, go ahead and come and grab your elements and then maybe go sit with someone who you don't normally sit with, don't normally talk to, and I'll come back and lead us in that time. Amen. You can now come.